Chapter 29. Breach. Battle Barge Charybdis, Interrogation Chamber. As he came up on the room where they had left Hecht, Zetos had one hand on his sidearm. He had no reason to believe the Grey Legionary had malicious intentions, but until he knew the agenda and motives of Malkador's supposed agent, he would not trust him. As suspected, the door was unlocked. It was also open. Zetos pulled his bolt pistol out of its holster and began to wonder if he should be doing this alone. Setting off a needless panic just as they were about to come under attack was a further complication he could well do without, as was a largely unknown legionary roaming freely about the ship. On Macragge it had been easy. Lead the pyre, watch over Vulcan. But it was without purpose. Numeon had given that purpose back to the Legion, or what dregs of it remained, but had left it up to Zetos to grasp the burning brand. Pushing his irritation aside, Zetos edged into the interrogation room, staying low and holding his pistol in a two-handed grip. He quickly relaxed. No Hecht.
Skediting son of a...
He was about to raise Valkyr over the vox when a voice called out to him.
Son of Vulcan!
Zetos turned and saw Hecht standing in the corridor that led to the interrogation room, one opposite to the prow-facing stretch he had just run across. Instinctively, he raised his pistol. Hecht's hands went up.
I'm still unarmed, he said. You took my weapons, remember?
Hecht stood next to a glassy viewport, still shrouded after the recent aborted warp translation. His reflection came back at him in a silvery blur.
May I lower my hands? He asked.
Zetos holstered his pistol.
Why did you leave the room? The door unlocked when the power cut out, he explained. I went to investigate. Did we drop out of warp? You know we did, said Zetos, scowling.
The salamander met him halfway down the starboard corridor.
Why didn't you run? Asked Zetos.
Hecht smiled, nonplussed.
To where would I run? And to what end? I am where I need to be.
Zetos had no idea what that meant, and he doubted the enigmatic legionary would tell him either.
Well, I need you back in that room.
No, you don't, said Hecht, and had Zetos reaching for his sidearm again.
Are you defying me? We are about to come under attack. How did you...
Your vox is an open channel, easy enough to listen into. I wanted to know what you were saying about me.
Arm me. Let me help you, as you did on Rampart.
Zetos was skeptical.
For someone who craves his freedom, you have an odd way of garnering trust.
Hecht held up his hands in a gesture of contrition.
I am not trying to antagonize you. I can, however, help with your current predicament. For your freedom?
Hecht nodded.
I can be an ally to you, Salamander.
Zetos was racked with indecision. Numeon would have known what to do, but Zetos was alone and had to make this call himself.
Help us now, and I will revisit the decision to keep you under lock and key.
Hecht laughed mirthlessly.
It seems I have little choice. You have none at all.
Zetos handed Hecht his sidearm.
Betray us, and I will kill you myself.
Fair enough, said Hecht, feeling the grip and getting used to the pistol.
What about my own weapons?
Zetos pulled out his hammer.
No time for that.
He gestured to the starboard corridor.
That way, towards the bridge. You lead.
Are you watching my back or your own?
Once we reach my brother's, I won't need to do either.
Hecht laughed again.
War has made you all cynical.
Zetos thought of Istvan V, and then the corpse lying in the Charybdis's cargo hold.
Treachery has made us cynical. I won't deny it, but we have much reason to be.
Perhaps, said Hecht,
but I've never seen a more devoted band of brothers. We have had to be. You have lost much. Zitos muttered darkly as they headed off. We'll lose more before this is over. Flocks of servitors, engine seers, and indentured menials scurried through the maintenance decks, hefting tools and welding equipment. They were running. The last dregs got through the defensive cordon just as the barricades closed. Farkor Zon activated the raft of sentry guns. Hard-mounted multi-lasers and autocannons cycled up into readiness. The ammo gauge of each one flashed up onto the Tech Marine's retinal display as they came online. As he issued a blurt of binaric cant, 36 weaponized servitors manned the first foot of the barricades. Targeters filled the gloomy engineerium with a cross-hatching of grainy red light. The rest of the defenses were manned by human menials armed with carbines and shotguns. Zon's culverin hummed gently in his clenched gauntlet. Though he knew the others could not detect it yet, his augmetic hearing tracked the pitch of the magna cutters slowly boring through the Charybdis's battered hull. His enhanced autosensors mapped heat fluctuations, determining the most likely point of ingress. It was here Zon had placed his defenses. Before he had detected the approach of the Necrotor, Zon had marshalled every available serf trained in the basic rudiments of engineering and capable of using heavy tools in the reparation of the Charybdis with the skill of an experienced general. He had sent those who were mechanicum trained to the engineerium to assist with bringing the ship's main power back online, while the rest were dispatched in labor gangs to areas of reported structural damage. Zon's diagnostic of the Charybdis had revealed minor breaches in the vessel's inner skin, but nothing to trouble its void integrity. However, even an insignificant fissure could develop into something more serious if neglected, and there was also the ship's age to consider. On Istvan V, it had taken a fierce pounding from the Renegade's surface-to-orbit guns. Patched-up wounds, Zon knew, had a tendency to reopen, if not restapled and resutured from time to time. It was a fact that extended to the Legion, too. The Salamanders had suffered more than most, though perhaps not as much as some. Certainly, were Zon to perform a statistical analysis based on extrapolated facts he had gleaned from surviving the massacre and the subsequent aftermath, he would determine that the 18th were much reduced in military efficacy. Scattered as they currently were, it amounted to close to zero effectiveness in the context of the broader war. Zon knew they were a legion on the brink of dissolution. They needed their Primarch to restore them, and if Vulcan could not, then another must come forward to unify the scattered tribes. As it was in the days before, so it must be again. Hope was all they had left to them. None of this would mean anything if that hope died along with the Charybdis. Behind the barricade, the workers still toiled. Zon's thin grey line of automated guns and pallid-skinned servitors were their only defence against what was cutting through the Charybdis's armour. Farther down the wide corridor across which Zon had set up his cordon, a small spot of metal in the ship's inner hull flared red. It grew larger in seconds, expanding into a circle of throbbing heat and thermally tortured metal. As the twin hull booms of the docking ram burst through into the engineerium, the defensive line opened fire. Solid shot and las beams hammered the assault boat as its ramps opened up and armor-clad legionaries poured out. Dirty white, accented with green, the Death Guard had come to the Charybdis.
Several of the legionaries fell as they disembarked, quickly lost under the fusillade streaming off the defensive cordon, while the rest managed to advance and secure cover in the alcoves and protruding inner bulwarks of the ship. Two more docking rams penetrated the hull moments later, and the concentrated fire from the defenders was abruptly divided. Zon climbed to the highest rampart of the barricade to discharge his culverin. Volkite beams streaked through darkness lit up by the passage of tracer fire and energy flare. Dug in, the Death Guard replied with a coordinated storm of bolter fire. Across the line, servitors were torn to pieces as the mass reactive shells shredded their flesh and machine bodies. His aiming reticule, a mass of potential targets, Zon locked onto a legionary hefting a belt chain of explosives. Four more legionaries with breacher shields advanced in front, taking the bulk of the punitive fire leveled against them. Two sentry guns, alerted by the presence of the incendiaries, switched targets. A graviton burst took out one, crushing the autocannon and causing a spectacular misfire that rained shrapnel on the hapless defenders. Six menials died, and two combat servitors were ripped to pieces. Injuries went on, uncounted. The second sentry released a short salvo before a las cutter cleaved it in half at close range. Heedless of all this, Zon speared the demolitions carrier through his respirator housing, and the breacher shields split apart, blown out from the resulting explosion behind them. Heavy plasma and las cannon fire cut them down before they could redress ranks. It was a minor victory amidst a sea of defeat. Dense smoke clouds roamed ahead of the Death Guard as they released fetid chemical reagents into the atmosphere that swept across the barricades. Flesh bubbled and sloughed to degraded matter as servitors fell apart, still firing. Unprotected menials died horribly, their screams echoing in the vast engineerium space. Zon's battleplate was hermetically sealed, but it still registered the toxicity of the cloud, which sent its hazard gauge redlining. His forces were less than 62%. Since the opening seconds of the assault, the casualty rate amongst the Death Guard had been dramatically reduced. Several legionaries were advancing steadily now, shields locked and weathering the slowly diminishing fusillade from the Tech Marines' defensive line. Zon gave the order to fall back. It was no longer possible to hold the barricade effectively. The defenders had retreated as far as the next bulwark when the barricade they had been manning ruptured in three places, violently split apart by heavy charges. More virulent smoke issued through the gaps, followed by more legionaries with breacher shields. Bolters, locked into the crooks of their shields, roared, their muzzles flaring. Taking a glancing hit to the shoulder, Zon sent servitors forwards, armed with flamer units, and the corridor turned into an inferno. They lasted seconds as the Death Guard rushed the servitor rearguard and scythed them down. The rest of Zon's defenders were almost 50 meters back. A symbol flashed up on his retinal display. Proximity sensor. Zon armed it with a subvocal command. A vaulted archway separated the section of the engineerium where the Death Guard were massed, and that where the thin line of servitors and menials had hunkered down for a last stand. As the legionary vanguard was about to advance to glory, one of them noticed the red diodes pulsing around the archway supports. A bellowed half-warning in his native Barbaran presaged the detonation of 15 proximity mines Zon had rigged around the arch. The explosion was deafening. The vanguard disappeared amidst fire and smoke as gantries, pipework, and much of the upper deck collapsed down on top of them. Zon stood furthest forward of the defenders and allowed the surging dust and debris plume to envelop him. Some of the closer menials covered their heads, cowering against the explosion. It was all over in less than a minute, and by that time the corridor was sealed off by an immense wall of wreckage. Zon had no way of knowing how many Death Guard had died in the blast. He had waited until they were almost through to throw the charge, so he estimated the number would be significant. It meant their efforts at cutting through the debris would be dramatically reduced, thus garnering enough time to effect repairs to the Charybdis' systems.
"Engineerium is secure, Brother Sergeant," he voxed. "Proceeding to restore power to the ship."